The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right, that's going to fade on out. That is Shadows by Avoir Simone, who we are so happy to have back in the station.
Hello.
Feeling is mutual.
We are happy to be here.
And shout out to Henry for the Live remix on that. We'll call that the Henry Pizza remix. welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz. Greg is out in L.A., hanging out for the Grammys at the Ace Hotel.
What? Are you jealous?
No, because I'm here with you.
Aww.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's how you hit it big in the world.
Yeah. Well, you'll be... We got keyboards and drum pads, and you'll be playing live. I know I didn't play anything off the new album, but I figured you were going to play live songs off the new album, so I wanted to play one of my older favorite songs.
Oh, thank you.
We're actually going to play the new album from start to finish.
Okay, so get tuck in.
Barbershop style, no keyboards.
Wait, don't you... Is Henry your fourth?
Yes.
Is he the bass?
He's the beatboxer.
He's the beatboxer. Mm-hmm. Well, today, first up, though, we have another guest returning. Lee, welcome back to Snacky Tunes.
Good to be back. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you? Where are you in the world right now? Are you New York, Miami?
I am in Miami, where it is one of those beautiful days that reminds us why we live here all year round.
Oh, my God. Well, you missed the gray snow up here in New York. So
I actually didn't miss it. I was up there for the beginning of it, and I got out of there as soon as I saw it coming.
As soon as you saw it coming. Well, you are down in Miami because it is the 13th annual South Beach Food and Wine Festival coming up in just a couple of weeks, or a little under a month.
Probably exactly a month. I don't like to count the days, but we start on the 20th of February, so however many number of days that is when we start.
Yes. So you have a lot of things this year. I know that you have a lot of great dinners. The one that I'm looking at that I hopefully will be attending will be the Spotted Pig 10-year anniversary dinner. Talk to me a little bit about that event and how that came to be.
Actually, we were just fortunate that it happened to be the 10-year anniversary of the Spotted Pig, so it kind of gave us an automatic, way to approach April and Ken about doing something in South Beach. And you know, they come down pretty frequently to South Beach, but it's always good to give them a hook, and they like the hook. And we're doing an amazing dinner with them on Friday night, the 21st of February.
So, first year versus 13th year, are things easier, harder, the same? How do you feel about this festival?
In some ways it's incredibly easier, and in a lot of ways it's incredibly harder. So I think it just depends. It doesn't get easy.
No.
Some things get easier, but it does not get easy.
How do you get ready for this? I mean, it's, you know, I think it's amazing to go to any of these events, and I feel like you hit every single one. How do you prepare leading up to what's going to happen?
I think, we expect the unexpected. I think that's something, and we kind of... dot our I's and cross our T's to make sure we have done everything that we could to, you know, make sure that the talent and sponsors and chefs and consumers are all, ready for a great experience.
Now, I know that a lot of times these can be very heavy, very, you know, meat-infused events with the Burger Bash and the Cube, but you are actually having a vegetarian dinner hosted by Alfred Portal and Alex Guancelli and Matthew Kenny. How did that happen?
We've done vegetarian, we've done vegan dinners, we've done vegetarian dinners before. I guess when you look at our signature events like the Q, and the Burger Bash, I guess those are heavier, but they're only heavy if you eat, a lot. If you kind of, do it responsibly and take small bites, it really, isn't, as bad as you might think. But I think it's all about doing everything in moderation. But the, vegetarian dinner really happened because, I actually think it was Alfred's idea to do something. He's so known for Gotham Steak that I think it had to be his idea, because I don't think I would have asked him to do it otherwise.
Now, do you feel that as Miami gets better as a culinary destination, it's sort of a chicken and an egg thing where you've had the festival there, so it raises the culinary talent, and it's just this great cycle of better food in the city?
I think that we all kind of grew up together. We're going into our 13th year. I jokingly say, 14 years ago, we used to kind of, it used to take 10 minutes to decide where we wanted to eat dinner because there were no good chefs. 13 years later, it takes 10 minutes to decide because there are so many good options. So I think that, the city has grown with us. I think that we have some of the greatest talent in, the country right here in South Florida. It's a thriving, interesting, diversified dining scene here.
Now, this year, there is a lot of actual... physical activities for families. There's yoga. Yoga presents. There's a fun and fit. The family event. What's the new sort of interactive get out and go exercise element that you've added to the festival?
Well, I think you'll see online tomorrow that we're doing a life cycle, soul cycle, or cycle.
Soul cycle.
One of those. Is that soul cycle? Yeah. So we're going to do a chef soul cycle event on Saturday, the 22nd of February, at Soul Cycle down here in South Beach. I'm into yoga, and I do something over Art Basel called Yoga Arts, And last year we did one session at South Beach, and it filled immediately. So this year we're doing two sessions called Buddhas and Bellinis at the Raleigh Hotel Saturday and Sunday mornings. And it's really kind of like we'll use our tagline for Basel, take a breather during Basel. So, you know, take a breather during Sobe and relax at the Raleigh, enjoy some Bellinis, have some kind snack bars, and, you know, some great snacks before or after. And I think it's really one of the nicest settings, the Raleigh, out by their beach. And I think to have yoga by, you know, with DJ Drez is one of the great yoga DJs, and MC Yogi, and my yoga teacher, Dawn Feinberg. If it's not sold out, it will be this week. I mean, the response has been great to it.
I mean, how many tickets are left for it overall? I mean, can people still get in on the action?
Sure. I mean, you know, we have 60,000 tickets to sell. We probably have sold, 52,000. You know, we're down to the last. You know, Bergabash is sold out. Q will probably sell out now that the word's out that the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models are going to be hosting it this year. It's their 50th anniversary, so I think there'll be a lot of attention around that. And plus, Michael Simon's the overall host of Q.
Yeah.
We're doing a big party on Saturday night with Sammy Hagar and Emeril that is close to sold out. So, I mean, there are tickets. I would say, you know, we have thousands of tickets left to sell, but, you know, divide that over, you know, 80 events, it's not so many.
No, it's not. Now I know I ask you this every year, and it is like picking, you know, which child is your favorite, but what event are you most looking forward to?
I'd have to say it's probably some of the new ones. You know, we're doing a Jenny's ice cream party. I love Jenny's ice cream out of, I think it's Cincinnati. I hope it's Cincinnati, but Jenny's Homemade does incredible artisanal ice cream, and we talked them into doing a late night ice cream party at the, I think it's Friday night at the Gale Hotel on the roof. I'm excited about this new Media Noche party that we're doing with Anne Burrell and Emilio Esteban are hosting it, and Media Noche is the classic Cuban sandwich, so really excited about that new event. And of course, we're screening Soul of a Banquet, Wang Wang's film. That Ruth Reichel and Alice Waters are in, and we're doing the East Coast premiere of it. It will be outdoors on Sunday, February 23rd at the New World Symphony on their soundscape. And Ruth is coming in, and Wang Wang, the producer, and Cecilia Chang, who the documentary is about her life. She's kind of credited with bringing Chinese food into America. Her son is Philippe Chang, who started BF Chang. So excited to break out and have music with Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
The film with Cecilia Chang, the exercise program with Yogurt and SoulCycle. You know, I think it's nice to kind of diversify and reach new people.
I mean, that's the great thing about food. It's got a common theme in so many people's lives, and it touches on sort of all parts of social interactions and cultures. So it's great that you can have that.
Yeah, I always say that, you know, not everyone plays tennis, not everyone likes golf, not everyone goes to a fashion show. Everybody eats. It's that common denominator that we all enjoy.
It's amazing. Well, Lee, I'm sure you have a million and one things to do today, so we won't take up any more of your time. But what's the website? Where can everyone go if they want to check out the information?
The website is www.sobefest.com. So www.sobefest.com, and tickets still available for select events.
Awesome, Lee. Well, thank you so much. I will see you down there in just a few weeks, and maybe for yoga, maybe for some burgers. It's going to be a good time.
I'll see you at any number of the athletic events. I have to do that to keep in shape that weekend.
All right, Lee. Well, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Bye-bye, guys.
Man. Lee Schrager, legend. Always. Love that guy.
I want to go to the festival.
Yeah.
What's that pain look, Annie?
I was so thirsty, and my husband just brought me a glass of water, and I swooned so hard.
Aw.
He's very considerate.
He's very considerate.
Yeah.
He is. All right, well, this is the first of the two shot of two Bouncing Souls songs that I'm going to play today because...
Yes, yeah!
I don't know. Like, I went into a Spotify hole. So I'm going to play one song off The Good, the Bad, and the Argyle, another song off Maniacal Laughter.
Yes!
But it's going to be in two separate segments.
Okay!
And then next up, we have Julia from Salad for President, who is a Renaissance woman.
Hello.
She is. So here we go. Joe Lies When He Cries here on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah.
say, well, if they don't care, then why should I care? I say, if I don't care, why should anyone care? So every day I try to deal with these lies. No more 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 lies.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
All right. Annie, how much did you like that song?
A lot.
A lot. It's so good.
Mashi.
If anyone knows a place where I can go karaoke that song, I would like to.
That's the kind of thing that you have to, like, know somebody who does the custom karaoke.
I know. I feel like probably in Austin or Portland.
Maybe Kyle's corner.
He doesn't do it anymore.
Oh, no.
Well.
Yeah, Portland.
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 We're cracking some beers. Julia Sherman, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a rare time where I don't even know where to start and describe somebody, but you are at the base an artist who works in different platforms.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, my art tends to take on various media, so I usually work in collaboration with other people. And I find ways to work with people who do not define themselves as artists necessarily.
Oh, so you're not an artist?
No, I am.
Okay.
But I like people who aren't better than I do other artists most of the time, or at least working with them. So I end up finding myself working with people like communities of nuns, or people at a senior center, or a cobbler, or a weaver, or whatever. So. And then we make art projects either together, or I make art projects from the things that we've done together, whatever. Anyway, it's sort of a way of being in the art world without having to always be in the art world, I guess.
One of your projects that I'm seeing here in your list of projects is you reenacted the pilot episode of The Golden Girls.
Yes, I just finished that. I actually just did a project yesterday at that senior center where I worked, but I was doing a workshop with a filmmaker named Laura Gallagher, and we brought in a film crew on a weekly basis, and we would reenact scenes from the pilot episode of The Golden Girls with a rotating cast of senior women, sometimes men, but majority of the time women.
Right.
And they would each take on the different roles throughout each episode, and then we edited it together into sort of a chaotic, messed up multi-channel video version of The Golden Girls.
And where can we see this?
This will be shown in New Orleans at a gallery called Parse in May.
Okay.
You can also see it on my website, juliasherman.com. Oh. All the scenes are on there, and then there's a series of monologues and a pretty fun intro that I shot at hold a birthday party once a month for everybody who had a birthday that month.
Okay.
So everybody waits all month to have a dance party that's like an all-day dance party at this senior center in the cafeteria. So I'm actually going to be hosting an intergenerational dance party with them, to where we invite everyone else to come to the senior center and do
what?
This. Because they dance way better than the rest of us.
Like, Like what
stamina is just unbelievable. Like 100-year-old women and men. But so the one thing I realize that everybody wants to do is like not talk to each other and just dance. So that's the next project with the old ladies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you are here today because our good friend Cassandra, who was on Snacky Tunes a while back, with her musical family, and I really want to go see her dad play piano at some like highfalutin bar.
Well, Salad for President is going to do the next Brunch Village.
Okay, when is that, and what is that?
Okay, what is Brunch Village?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, let's step back. Let's step back because I was gearing up to an intro.
Okay, sorry.
But you are an amateur cook.
Yeah.
And a fantastic photographer.
Thanks.
And you have a blog called Salad for President.
I do.
.com.
Yep.
What is that?
All right. Well, Salad for President, basically when I'm not making art or I'm cooking. And
which is an art form unto itself.
It is. Well, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people would question what I do as being art, so it goes both ways. But had this blog for a while, and my very supportive husband and consumer of my food was very frustrated with me because I had paid very little attention to the blog because I always felt like I should be in my studio. I shouldn't be spending time taking pictures of food. And then I had a revelation that I actually really love doing this, and as much as I love making art, it's a very up and down process, and it's something that I'm often dependent on other people for. So this is something I can do as a daily practice. Now that I've been doing it for a while, I've started to do a whole guest blogger program. So it's fun because I can seek out other artists, musicians, designers, curators, whatever. And everybody has a favorite salad because a salad is something that can be really simple or really complicated. So it's sort of like an equalizer. So the blog has just become a total obsessive project for me that runs parallel to my studio practice.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. Thanks.
Can we talk about one post?
Yes.
Composing the perfect bite.
Okay.
Now, this is something which I picked up from my grandfather, where that you have all these different elements on a plate.
Yes.
And you have to find the balance and get everything in one bite.
Yeah.
And I respect that because I realize that people don't always eat that way.
Yeah.
Some people go, I have a bite of this, I have a bite of that, and that. I feel like everything comes together and becomes a whole new thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think That's one way to approach like any meal, but a salad in particular, I feel like it's generally thought of as something that should be that are, you know, pieces of things that come together into one particular flavor. So I feel like it's something that I realize I subconsciously do when I'm eating salad and talking to him. I'm actually really thinking about how I'm going to fit all the elements of the salad onto my fork. So in each post, I take a picture of the perfect bite, which is also just funny because it makes people uncomfortable to have like a close-up shot of their mouth. I don't know.
And if I can quote, composing a salad is an act of faith. It is all just raw material until the moment when you toss it together.
Yeah.
Very poignant.
I guess I wrote that.
Beautiful. You did.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your personal favorite salad.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, one that I make or one that I get elsewhere because
let's do. Well, we got time.
Okay, cool.
We got time.
All right, all right. I have always loved a Greek salad. As a kid growing up in New York, it used to be something that was really easy to find and very reliable. So no matter where you were, you could always stop into a diner and get a Greek salad, and it was a formula, and it was always the same. You didn't fuck with that.
Outside.
Okay, you didn't fuck with that formula. Like, nobody would dare, you know, elevate the Greek salad, right? Like, it was, you know, it was romaine, it was Kalamata olives, it was, you know, it was very, very basic.
Dolmas.
Yeah, sometimes you get some Melba toast on the side, you know, whatever. But, and so I became really upset as I felt that in New York that became a rarity, and all of a sudden there's mesclun greens thrown in, you know, like, I don't know, some other kinds of cheese. It was just the whole balsamic vinegar.
A brick of feta.
Yeah, but balsamic, like, on it, that is, you know, you have to mix your own dressing, you know, it has to be red wine, vinegar, whatever. So I love, like, going to Astoria or, you know, when you find your own, when you find, like, the real authentic Greek salad, I think that's, like, kind of just, like, a perfect balance and really not something that's overly fancy and, like, it's very accessible.
I feel like I can't remember when I've ever had a good Greek salad.
Really?
Like, here's the thing. I have to say this. I'm sure that the original, what made Greek salad, is amazing.
Yeah.
But in my mind, Greek salad is awful.
Aren't you from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Long Island, and I think, like, there's a suburb Greek salad that's not, like, a New York City Greek salad.
Maybe, but when I think of, like... of, like, whatever the original dish was that made it so popular. You know when you have something that's original and you go, oh, now I know why that this has been become so popular and a staple? I nothing comes to mind.
Huh. Well, there's this one diner
I know what you mean. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's also one of those salads that it does rely on, like, some integrity of your ingredients. Like, you have to have good olives. You can't have shitty tomatoes.
All salads... rely on the integrity of the ingredients.
They do, but, like, salads where things are cooked and, you know, that rely on a really, like, elaborate dressing or something like that.
Yeah, but then you're masking.
Yeah.
I'm saying a really good salad is all about the ingredients.
Of course. Totally.
So, but, so what's your favorite salad to make, then?
Ooh, my favorite salad to make? I don't know. These days, it's hard to say because I feel so pressured to make something new every day, you know?
Come on. We're talking... getting away for yourself, no cameras, no writing.
Oh, yeah, when there's no cameras, things
No cameras, weird. just you're making a salad.
I want to know what her favorite lettuce is.
Ooh, my favorite
base. Can we say green or base? Yeah, base.
Green, base, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's really passe, but I do really love kale. Mm. I can't get over it. Mm. I know it's just like it's been done a million times.
It's fine. Kale's a base for a salad, though. It's tough, though.
It's, well... yeah, I mean, I've been into radicchio lately, and I think that's been really good. And I do love, like, a Boston bib lettuce. Like,
Boston bib lettuce is great.
So good.
I want to say good. With radicchio is really tricky. Radicchio, I think, is of all the greens that you're going to make a salad out of, one that you need to have be the freshest.
Yeah.
That gets, like, bitter beyond disgusting. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Brown.
But you know what you can do? I have a salad on there that I did that was, like, a reduced balsamic and this like grape must vinegar that was like kind of a sweet one. But so if you make it and you find it too bitter or you make too much, you just roast it and then it gets really sweet and it's amazing.
It's like the only salad you could kale salad, I guess you could
kale,
do that too.
Yeah, you can
roasted
do that.
Radicchio is amazing.
Yeah, it might be amazing. Better than
ridiculous.
How often are you cooking
ridiculous.
The elements?
Ridiculous.
I cook a lot of the elements.
So it's not really all raw salad.
No way. Ridiculous. No. That would be really hard.
That's really complicated.
Limiting. No, I'm actually, you know, one of the first questions that came up that I still haven't been able to address was just like, what is a salad or what defines a salad? And I feel like
That's super meta.
I know. Well, you know, if you're going to call yourself some sort of like expert in it, which I mean, I don't think I've ever said that, but, you know, a specialist. Let's say I'm a specialist.
Salad specialist.
But so I'm still defining it and I'm into expanding those definitions. So it definitely doesn't have to be raw. It definitely doesn't have to be room temperature. It can be warm. So it can be cooked. I don't know. You know, that salad's like whatever you want it to be, man.
I'm just going to go to the dictionary because I just want to see how they define salad. Ooh.
Dressing is an important part
of it. Here's what it says right off the bat. Salad. Cold dish.
That's bullshit. Mm.
Yeah. Various mixtures of raw or cooked vegetables.
Yeah.
Usually seasoned with oil, vinegar, or other dressings.
Yeah, I think a dressing is key.
Yeah.
Not a sauce, a dressing.
No.
Right.
No.
Vinegar, something acidic.
I think a good salad has something like salt, some acidity, some greens.
Yeah. It doesn't have to have greens.
But you can have a pasta salad.
I don't really feel true. Like that's a salad. I think that's cold pasta.
I don't know.
It's not our generation salad.
I had this conversation with my Nana the other night, who's 90 years old, and I was like, you'd be a great guest blogger because I can't imagine you liking any salad ever, except for tuna salad and egg salad, which is really debatable if that's a salad, you know?
It's not a salad.
It is according to Cold Dish, but that's not what we're going on.
Yeah, and it is like a mixture of small chopped things or whatever, but if it's just this, if it's like a sticky, homogenous lump, I don't know if it really qualifies as a salad. But, yeah, all she could think of was her brisket recipe.
Maybe it's
just not a salad.
Maybe it has to do with, like, a protein to green ratio.
No, because a lot
like
of salads...
Like, maybe if your protein ratio is really high, like in a tuna salad or a lobster salad, it's, like, all protein.
Ah.
With a little bit
but
of...
But what about potato salad?
That yeah. Potato salad.
It's slippery.
Slip.
We've got a lot of work to do.
Also think... Like, I've been reading old cookbooks lately, like Fanny Farmer and Betty Crocker, and a lot of those...
wow.
You called me last week a consumer of food literature.
That's true.
So that's the reason why. But I think also that type of salad, it's generational and decadal. Like, it depends what decade the recipe definitely was and then the style.
I mean,
was.
there's Jell-O salad.
Yeah.
Definitely from a
Jell-O salad.
Yeah. I was thinking about if there was any way. Once I made aspic, you know, for a party, just because I wanted to know if it
was in a shape.
It was loaf-like, but it was really pretty because it had beets in it. You know, everything was suspended in it. It looked super.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what the appeal was in terms of like bringing something impressive to a party, but it was as disgusting as you would imagine. It was. So if I could find a way to make that delicious, that could be like a salad frozen in time.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, that's the name of our next album.
Salad Frozen in Time.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, sure.
And then one last question. Name of the blog, where'd it come from? Salad for President? Or is it just...
It's actually a contested... This is a contested issue.
Ooh.
I'm happy to give the credit to Adam Katz over here.
Hey, Adam. Finder of beer.
My husband, finder of beer. He's also a Renaissance man. But he says he came up with it. So I'm going to give that to him.
And then
I don't remember that moment, the origin story.
It's a great name.
Oh, his nephew's blog was Dylan for President when he was first born. Or before he was born.
Okay.
Like Bob and Dylan then, or his nephew's name is Dylan?
His nephew's name is Dylan. And his blog, which is no longer, you know, functioning.
Ooh.
So
it must have been a sad day when they took that down.
Well.
Like, oh, I don't think Dylan. Sorry, Dylan. It doesn't look like re-upping on that damn name.
Yeah. Well, so now it's Salad for President, which seems to be doing well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is awesome. Where can people find your work and everything, nuts and bolts of beyond the canon of Salad for President?
My website is juliasherman.com, and that has all kinds of projects involving old ladies and otherwise. And then Salad lives on Salad for President, so I live a double life these days.
Double life?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe you have an old woman making salad one day.
Hmm. Oh, of course. Yeah. Not egg salad, but something.
No. Egg salad. Another salad.
Maybe just eating salad.
Yeah.
Maybe just eating it. Maybe they should just be my models.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take another Bouncing Souls break. This is the Ballad of Johnny X. Then we have Aura Simone live in the house here on Snacky Tunes.
Johnny says he's bound by only six strings to this world. Johnny says he'll keep them always one turn out of tune. Johnny never listens to the kids that say Johnny X ain't never done the right thing anyway. Johnny wears his leather like a crown of thorns. Johnny spends a lot of time wishing he was never born. Johnny waits eternal spirit tells himself again. Johnny in a patron saint of standing the wind.
All right, we forgot about one thing in that interview because so much is up. The brunch that you're doing?
Oh, well, it's not that brunch. It's, you know, Cassandra, who was your previous guest, yes. Cassandra Jenkins, she and her family host these brunches at their house on the Upper West Side, and they are a musical family, and there's brunch and food, and then there's a bunch of different bands will play, and it's an event. And so Cassandra saw the blog, and the post we're going to do together with her as a guest blogger is we're going to have... we're going to prepare salads for what they call Brunch Village up at their house, and then I'll photograph the whole musical event, which will be pretty awesome.
When is that happening? Can I come?
she said that she thinks the next one's going to be in March.
Okay.
And I'm inviting you, and I've never met her parents, so I'm inviting you to their house. But
awesome.
I'm sure it'll work out just fine.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be like these epic, amazing I'm really into intergenerational things.
Yeah.
So it's like young musicians, older musicians. And then, yeah.
And then hashtag salad for president.
So I want to encourage other people because, you know, if you tell people that you have a salad blog, this was part of the thing about, you know, being an artist. You tell people you're a video artist, they get kind of bummed out. But if you tell people you're a salad blogger, they're really excited and they have something to say about it. So I want other people to start to hashtag and vote their own salads for president. Or if you eat like even a really shitty salad, you know, you can hashtag salad for president, but that to be that collection or whatever. So, you know, Orvar Simone seems to be pretty excited about salads.
We're hashtagging our tour salads.
We're salad savvy.
Do you, so when you're on tour, is it mostly salads? I feel like.
No, that's a fantasy. No. We wish it was all salads.
It's still bread and cheese, man.
Actually, I have a hilarious salad story about Annie.
Ooh. Okay.
This
love
is
a good salad
so
story.
So Annie, that one, I mean, we have had to all share this hotel room in Paris one time.
No,
and
Barcelona.
It was in Barcelona. Okay. I'm not really good. Okay,
there's
amazing produce. Okay, so she's obsessed. Okay. Annie's obsessed with produce. Like, she'll walk by a produce stand and be like, oh my God, oh my you see that endive? And we're like, what are you talking about? But like... Erica and I were.
I appreciate myself some produce.
And so does this one.
I do. I like produce too, but she gets like really excited about it. And Erica and I were like dead asleep, and we wake up and we're like, what is going on? We just hear like banging.
It looked like someone had murdered someone in the bathroom.
Yeah, so we get up and we're like, and we see Annie, and there's just. And
no, she was gone. It was just a remnant of a crazy salad that had been made in the bathroom.
All over the bathroom. She made a salad. There were chopped beets and chopped carrots,
serious?
Shredded carrots.
She had almost like blood. Bloody murder.
She had done it in the dark.
Well, she has
we
terrible
sleeping.
Eyesight, so she had taken out her contacts and off her glasses and proceeded to make a salad blind in the dark in a hotel room.
It was dark. I was starving. I didn't want to wake you up.
That's
so you decided that beets were the way to go.
No, I found a towel.
She got beets all over the towels.
Okay, so then at your guest blog session, we're going to make the salad in the bathroom.
Yes! My other favorite thing to do is in Italy... Uh-huh. Stop at a grocery store and get one of those, you know, those catering aluminum.
Yeah, it's like what you roast turkey in.
Yeah.
And make a salad in that.
Hell yeah.
Because they have the best produce. Yeah, and you can get fresh mozzarella and you get, what do you call the little guys, the baby arugulas? Rucola?
I don't know.
The
rocket.
Rocket.
No, it's not
mache?
Mache.
Mache. Oh, mache, yeah.
Mache.
Oh, and then it's in like a giant bag with like you can fresh mozzarella is so cheap. You get like three balls.
No, it's a whole other world.
She's eaten a salad for a whole family.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, whenever I blog about a salad and I have like a problem about you know when I have to give the serving size if it's like how many people and it's usually like 3 to 4, 4 to 5. But in reality, I just ate the whole thing myself.
Yeah, no, serving sizes are so weird because they assume a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think about salad Elaine. Thing. Like, did you get the big salad?
Did you get the big salad?
Yeah. I got the big salad. The big salad
the
episode?
The big salad.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen
it. You never saw that episode?
No.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This episode.
Your husband
is ashamed.
Oh, man. It's all about.
Isn't there also an episode where Kramer makes
salad in the shower? Yeah.
Wow. That's your episode.
Oh my God, Annie is Kramer. It you suddenly Kramer. Has dawned on she's Kramer. I always thought she was Elaine, but no, she's
not. I'm trying to describe Seinfeld to our Japanese record. It's one of the funniest things.
You know, some of those episodes, 20 years old, still stand up. Make more sense now. That I'm in New York.
Yeah, of course. I've always wondered how people who are not in New York watch it. I just gave a lecture about the Golden Girls in Hanoi, and I was like, this is going to be rough. And they totally got it.
Really? We're on trying to talk
really
about
good
Q
comedy, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like, you don't even have to know what Miami is.
What did you say it was about? You're like, it's about three old ladies. Or what did
four.
You
say?
Four.
Well, jeez. I kind of just, like, skipped over the TV show and just showed the video, and, like, it was weird enough that everyone... I mean, crazy old ladies exist everywhere.
That's true.
You know.
In fact, let's play a song.
Yeah.
Let's okay. do a song, and then we'll talk about the new album.
Fact, I'm Dorothy.
You're Dorothy? do they have anything like that where you can find out which Golden Girl you are? I'm sure they have.
I'm sure on BuzzFeed there's
on BuzzFeed,
something.
And nope. Like, which Seinfeld character
we're
you
all
are.
A little bit of all of them.
Oh.
That's the point. We're all a little slutty, we're all a little ditzy, we're all a little alpha.
Interesting.
Yeah. Truth. Truth. So what song are you going to play first?
It's called Just Like a Tree.
It's about broccoli.
broccoli.
Broccoli salad.
Oh, my God.
You guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Can you play this keyboard?
If you move it this way. Okay, geez.
All right, let's do
All right.
it.
Thank you.
So good. So let's talk new album. Movement Spectrums. Very cool. Oh, I like
thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Are you going to play Crazy later?
No, that one requires some instruments that we wouldn't be able to fit into this small studio.
Yes, I hope
oh,
that...
Oh, really? I thought we were playing it.
No.
We're using two, just so people know, we're using two ultra tiny keyboards right now and one drum machine, and this is like, I don't know,
it's
tenth
like
of
one,
what we usually
yeah,
use.
Tenth of our yeah. regular set.
I think the last time you played here, you shared one keyboard and had some finger cymbals.
Those would be mine.
That sounds like us.
I forgot my finger cymbals.
Forgot my fingers.
You also asked us how we weren't fat from eating pizza every day.
But you're only here once a week.
Yeah, so that's hot. So talk about the new album. I mean, you had a little bit of a break in between this album and the previous one. And I feel like you're working on either solo records or children or things like that.
Our inner children.
What?
Our inner children.
Yeah, and your yeah. outer one, who's eating pizza in the other room. So how did this one come to be? When did you decide that you wanted to make another record?
We started working on this album like summer of 2012, and some of the songs came together, and then some of the other songs that came together were horrible, and we never saw the light of day. So, and then after Heather graduated from her studies.
Oh yeah, what degree did you get?
I got a degree in environmental biology from Columbia.
Nerd.
So
I
smart.
I went to Columbia.
Oh, you did?
I just got my MFA there.
Nice. Aww. Congratulations.
Thanks, you too. Yours is more impressive.
Not really. Oh, an MFA, that's amazing.
So anyways. After she graduated, then we started like working on it full time, but it took about a year and a half, I guess, or year and a half to make it.
And it was definitely also like a conversation, like after Still Light, we weren't really sure, you know, if we were going to make another album.
Right.
And I think that we all just needed time to pursue like these other things we were really interested in, because we had been a band for so long at that point. So there was a definite decision and a conversation of being like, you know, should we really do this? Do we have more to say? You know, what do we want to do this time that's
does
different?
Does anybody want to hear it?
Does anyone care? Is anybody out there?
I would say yes.
I mean, yeah, I've been really surprised, like, not only have our crowds kind of retained the same people, but they're still telling all their friends to come to the shows, and it's really... I find it an absolute honor to be living this life where we get to create what we're irresistibly and magnetically attracted to, and then seeing firsthand the impact it has on other people's lives. It's like nothing else. It's really amazing.
So the album, how would you describe it in comparison to other albums, though?
Everyone keeps saying that it's darker, but I find it like, so hilarious because it's like every single album we put out, they're like, this one's darker. So people, journalists just really love to say
it's
that.
Also like Williamsburg's really hot right now.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
What's it like living there?
It has been 10 years of people being like, Williamsburg's really hot right now.
Cheerier than other ones.
Yeah, thank you.
We think so too. Yeah.
We think so too.
We think Still Night was kind of like a sad one, and this one's kind of more poppy and fun.
Still Night's a little bit of like a February album for me.
Yeah.
This one's more like a springtime.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we always described it as Still Night was like our sort of like 5 a.m, like the stillness of the night. And this one's more like the 3 a.m.
Yeah,
like
3 a.m.
You're still
time.
Out dancing.
When's the last time you were out 3 a.m. dancing?
Last night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with Joe's band, that. Right? Shout out, Joe.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Joe. Mm. Baby's All Right, the new hotspot.
It's great in there.
Williamsburg's really hot right
great.
Now.
That place is awesome.
They're so nice there, too.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome. We did a Halloween party there this year. It was pretty spooky, scary stuff.
Did you wear a costume?
I was a tie-dyed ghost.
Oh. And
that's so good.
It was
good.
A bed sheet.
Okay.
Tie-dyed. And there were three other tie-dyed ghosts at the party.
Cute.
Coincidental?
No. They all... we were all there together.
Nice.
And so... We didn't, and no one really said anything.
Did you climb on each other's shoulders at one point?
No, because the bed sheets weren't even long enough to cover, like, to cover me. But it was great.
Too much pizza.
Too much pizza. Okay. All right. So, Mommy's having a beer. Mommy's getting loose. can we hear another song?
Yes, this one is called Somebody Who.
We have to.
Right. I was going to be Bob Ross for Halloween.
Wait, what happened?
Best idea ever.
I couldn't find an Afro wig.
Oh, come on. You couldn't find one Afro wig? What about that giant Halloween store that was open on Union?
Yeah, Ricky's has got to have an Afro wig.
Yeah.
I was in Chicago at the time.
Oh, okay. So wait, who needs a microphone?
I think we're good.
Okay,
we're good.
All right, we're here good. We go. Alvar Simone.
Scoot up here. Okay, ready.
So good.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Henry, thoughts?
Yeah, Henry. Do you like that? Yeah?
Yeah. So it's so awesome to have you girls back. I had a really good time at the Brooklyn Bazaar, Night Bazaar show.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was awesome.
You guys were really rocking out. Cool. I also liked your side ponytail.
Mm. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had a hairstyle change in the middle of the set, which was a first for me. It was a suggestion by a friend of mine.
She's an artist. A lot of artists. Shows are... I feel like these shows, our episodes are better when we have artists. Same just like Saturday Night Live when they have real artists. Like, if you haven't seen the Drake episode yet, it's...
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God.
Annie. Annie, the Drake episode of Saturday Night Live might be the best episode in a long time. Do you want to comment? Do you like Drake?
That's like the biggest understatement. All Annie talks about is Drake, like all the time.
Are you familiar with his early canon as Jimmy from Degrassi?
I kind of got into it on tour. I started YouTubing it, but I was only interested in the Drake scenes, and the rest of it was really dragging, so I kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's cool.
It's too Canadian.
It's so Canadian. Well, I mean, my brother and I grew up watching
it's
that stuff.
It's clearly Canadian.
You did, yes.
When we go up to Montreal, we'd watch the original Degrassi. And we're like, what is this? It's real life. It's real life coming at you fast.
Yeah.
So what's up next? So now the album's out.
Yeah, we have been touring. We just got back from Japan. We're about to go to Europe. And then we're opening for this awesome band, Broken Bells.
Oh, yeah, Broken Bells are great.
They're so great.
I really loved your tour photos from Japan on my Instagram.
It's hilarious over there.
Which one did you like?
The one of the shops. I have to go back and look.
Yeah, you're probably
don't
right.
Put him on the spot.
I remember
was just
the
curious
day.
Because a lot of them were just pictures of us on stage, and I was like, wow.
No, you had some nice you had some nice scenics, if you will, of Japan. That's that's I think number one on my top travel list.
We took some beautiful train rides.
Yeah.
Did you go to any onsen?
We did.
Not like not like natural onsens, but some bathhouses. Yeah.
That's true.
We went to one for 5 hours. It was like our entire day off. It was so lovely.
All the Japanese people were like, you're going for 5 hours?
I'm sorry, for those who don't know what we are talking about.
Okay, it's like a bath, like a public bathhouse. And it's not super, it's not like fancy. It's just a place where people go to like steam.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's the one that we really love called Heaven Baths. There's a sake bath. Where it's not all sake, but it has sake in it, and you steam in the sake.
In this wooden tub, there's like 4 wooden tubs in
a
row.
It smells really good.
But like, they often have natural spring water that's
There was one that was like a mineral bath, but of course we can't understand like what any of the signs say. And the funny thing is like the sauna has this giant flat screen TV, and everyone's just like watching this.
And it's not even like calm spa stuff. It's like... this woman is crying, and there's like a car accident. You're watching really this hyper. In a hot tub.
We got massages in Thailand. The guy next to me was watching Fight Club on his iPhone with like the loudest the loudest volume.
That's awful.
With just a curtain between us.
You should have asked him to pay for your massage.
Well, I think if you do it twice a day, then you can watch Fight Club.
That's true.
You're not like treating yourself.
Massages twice a day.
They're like $1.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got when I was in. Vietnam, I got like a massage on the beach from like 4 women, and it was like $5.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
They also tried to hair twine my back, and I was like, no.
Oh my god!
But they just started, and I was like, that really hurts.
Yeah.
No, but like, I had one very smooth shoulder. Wow. Not that I have a lot of hair, but it's just like, I was like, what are you doing? But yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Asian massages.
Yeah, we were
on
in Hong
level.
Kong, and we all got massages for like $10.
Oh yeah, that's right.
God, this must be so awesome, traveling, playing music with your best friends.
Yeah. It's great.
It is fun.
Do you get to bring Henry?
Yeah, we're going to Europe on February 3rd. We're starting a big run, and we're doing a string of dates in the south of France, so Doug and Henry are going to come. We're going to go hang out.
Awesome.
In some lavender fields or something.
Hope he doesn't trash the green room.
I hope he does. I hope he does, because we have a really good reputation, and I'm tired of it.
You're tired of it? You're tired of being professionals?
We're just so nice, and we care.
You show up on time.
How many different dresses do you bring on tour?
Three.
Three outfits is the perfect amount.
Really?
Because I bring more than that.
Then there's like no, you don't have to think about it.
But how many do you wear? Like one?
You end up wearing about three, no matter how many you bring.
And you just rotate them out?
Yeah.
Are these performance dresses or just day dresses?
Well, they're not always dresses. I would say that sometimes I wear pants and a tie.
That makes one of Pinch's cheeks. Day dresses.
I don't know. I mean, you are known.
You know about day dresses.
You're known for your stylish.
You guys don't even know the difference between dresses and skirts. You're really showing
like
something special here.
I work at a fashion company now.
Yeah,
I work at a fashion company. I know.
That's true.
What are we talking? Minis, pencils? What are we going to do? All right. So this has been another awesome show. We have enough time for one more song. But thank you so much for everybody. Me, Julia, thank you.
Thank you.
Adam for finding the beer. Henry for playing the keyboards during all the interviews.
Oh, thanks, Henry.
Shout out to Bouncing Souls forever.
And ever.
East Coast hardcore.
For life.
For life. Where can people find the album, all the nuts and bolts of...
We have, we try to be semi-active on our Facebook page, and then we have a website that's slightly informational and has a shop, and then...
There's iTunes.
There's always iTunes and all of the regular music retailers, and we have some really fun music videos, so definitely check out our YouTube, and, yeah, please, like, you know, we like to meet people and mix it up, so tweet at us, find us on Instagram, follow our tour that we're about to do. And
it's all your band name.
Yeah, Au Revoir Simone.
Do you want to spell it for
all
the people?
A-U-R-E-V-O-I-R-S-I-M-O-N-E. And it's a quote from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, which I remember my good buddy Luke, when he found that out. Remember that?
Was psyched, yeah.
Super psyched. Well, thank you to everybody. I'm not sure if we're going to be on next week because it's the Super Bowl and if people are going to be around, but I feel like the Super Bowl starts super late.
I have no idea.
Is that really even your competition?
Even though the Broncos
though?
Are...
What?
Super Bowl is really your competition?
No, it's not. I don't know. I would do a show during Super Bowl. We just have to see. It's, you know, things... It's in New York this year. So I feel like it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. And the Broncos are playing. I'm from Colorado, so it's just...
Oh, yeah? Is that where Denver is?
Yeah.
Should we play something else?
It should be good. Oh, we're having a band meeting right now.
Yeah, we're trying to decide.
What should we play?
We were going to play an oldie.
We're going to play an oldie, but now we're thinking, do you think it's too much of a lullaby? Or that's what we're going for?
I think that it's...
I mean, I think you got to end with energy. You know, your best songs have to be your first song and your last song.
I'd say tell me if you guys were going to play on one keyboard.
Do you want me to play Crazy and try and do it?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Crazy.
Let's do it. It's a single, and
I'll
love
just,
it.
I'll beatbox the bass.
This might be terrible.
This might be terrible.
How could anything that you three do be terrible?
We've never tried to do it like lo-fi like this.
Yeah,
you know?
We haven't.
Well, that's why the magic happens in
do
the
you
shipping
play
container.
Anything on the Sunset
Bass? No, I just play bass. You don't have a bass, do you?
I don't, but you can still feel free to make a bass face, even though you're not playing it.
Make the bass.
How's your bass face? That's not a fun bass face. All right, here we go. Au revoir, Simone.
Is this the best sound, Annie?
There's a... Yeah, sure.
Pipe organ. Doo-doo.
Okay. Do you need another microphone?
No.
Henry, you want to get on here?
Henry loves this song.
Henry, you want to sing it?
He's got good taste.
Aww.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Hopefully we'll see you next week. I guess go Broncos.
Thanks so much.
Or whatever.
Thank you so much,
go
everybody.
Go salad.
Yeah.
Every time I walked away, thought that it was done. And every try I made became the one I counted on. You knew me when I loved to lose and to lose again. Seems we're either giving up or giving in. But ooh, you girls, you drive me crazy. Ooh, you girls, you drive me crazy. Breaking bones that you tried to bend. Cry, cry, unforgiven. Some people think they know. Sometimes I think they know. Hey, hey, it's not that simple. But ooh, you girls, you drive me crazy. Ooh, you girls, you drive me crazy. You drive me crazy. Ooh, you girls, you drive me crazy.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.